Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her hair's still brick, cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining me today for Her Story number 10 is sociologist and mom Monica Casper. Monica is the former director of Women's and Gender Studies at Vanderbilt University and is currently professor of American Studies and Women and Gender Studies at Arizona State University. A prolific writer, Monica's essays and stories have appeared in many journals and magazines, including The Feminist Wire, American Sexuality Magazine, Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, and The Florida Review. An expert on women's health, especially reproductive and sexual health, she is author, co-author, or editor of 4 books and numerous articles. Monica also co-edits the journal Trivia, Voices of Feminism, is a member of the editorial board of The Feminist Wire, and co-edits New York University Press book series Biopolitics, Medicine, Technoscience, and Health in the 21st Century. To learn more about Monica and her work, you can visit her website, monicajcasper.com. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm happy to be here.
Well, which woman in history have you chosen to share with us today?
I'm excited today to talk about the 20th century American artist Georgia O'Keeffe. She was an extraordinary artist in her own right, wife to a famous man, Alfred Stieglitz, and also a brilliant trailblazer of modernism. But she's perhaps best known for her large and vibrant paintings of flowers, red poppies, Jack in the Pulpit, snapdragons, calla lilies, irises. Her flowers are breathtaking and suggestive, especially when the canvases are right in front of you and not in a book. O'Keeffe once remarked, quote, "I decided that if I could paint that flower in a huge scale, you could not ignore its beauty," end quote. She was born in 1887 in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, the second of 7 children. She attended the Art Institute of Chicago from 1905 to 1906 and the Art Students League in New York from 1907 to 1908. She became very adept at a style called imitative realism, and in 1908, she won the Art Student League's William Merritt Chase Still Life Prize. But Georgia O'Keeffe didn't like working in other people's traditions, and so she quit art for a while. In 1912, she was living in Virginia, and she learned from a visiting art professor different approaches to art, including the uses of light and harmony to express her own subjectivity. She once said, "I know now that most people are so closely concerned with themselves that they are not aware of their own individuality. I can see myself, and it has helped me to say what I want to say in paint." From 1914 to 1915, she was back in New York, working on a more personal body of artwork. A year later, in 1916, her friend Anita Politzer delivered her charcoal drawings that were very abstract to Alfred Stieglitz, and he began corresponding with Georgia O'Keeffe. In 1917, she enjoyed her first solo show at 291, Stieglitz's avant-garde gallery that had also featured Picasso, Cezanne, Brancusi, Matisse, and many others. O'Keeffe and Stieglitz fell in love and were married in 1924. They lived in both New York, in the city, and at the Stieglitz family home in Lake George. In 1929, O'Keeffe was traveling, and she discovered her beloved American Southwest, and she began to spend summers in New Mexico. She was deeply moved by the desert palette, the mountains, the bright high sky, and the landscape. A few years after Stieglitz died in 1946, O'Keeffe relocated permanently to New Mexico, and most of us tend to think of her work in terms of the Southwestern landscapes. For many years, she traveled back and forth between her ghost ranch home and a house in Abiquiu in New Mexico. In her later years, she expanded her medium and began to work also in pencil, watercolor, and clay. In the 1970s, she suffered from macular degeneration leading to vision loss and also developed at the same time a personal and professional relationship with Juan Hamilton, a potter to whom she had left the bulk of her estate, which was later contested by the O'Keeffe family. Georgia O'Keeffe died in 1986 at the age of 98 in Santa Fe, and her ashes were scattered from a mountaintop.
And why is Georgia O'Keeffe your inspirational woman in history?
Well, many, many things. She was one of the first women artists, indeed one of the first artists with whom I became familiar through the artwork. I was also drawn to her public mystique as a kind of iconoclast in the desert. And for many, many years, I perceived her as this very strong-willed, ambitious woman. And her life and her art also have taught me to look at the world in really different ways, to see beauty in unlikely places, and to change my angle of vision to get a different perspective. And this is as important in sociology and life as it is in art. O'Keeffe was very courageous. She dared to embark on journeys that were quite unusual for women of her time. Quote, "I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, and I've never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do." End quote. And I think that many of us operate in fear of the unknown, of the known, of failure, and yet we forge ahead because to stop is a kind of death. And Georgia O'Keeffe was not the kind of woman who stopped, and I admired that very much about her. I also felt a kind of Midwestern bond with Georgia O'Keeffe. She was geographically familiar to me. She started in the country in Wisconsin and then became urban in Chicago, whereas I started in Chicago and became rural in Wisconsin. And now I live in the desert and love the Southwest for many of the reasons she did. She was very independent, adventurous, and eons ahead of her time. If not directly calling herself a feminist, she certainly lived a life that crossed boundaries and opened up doors for other women. She also seems to have always had clear vision of what she wanted to do and who she wanted to be. Her biographies talk about her experience of maybe the usual human fragilities and doubts, but O'Keeffe always remained very true to her essence. She had a very strong personality. She inspires me to be creative, to move beyond my own medium, which is the written word, to use and work with images and textures and colors and shapes in my representations. And I've tended over the years to use a lot of imagery in my work, and I'm drawn to multimedia kinds of representations. And I think that her work had a lot to do with that. And my last point is that she had very beautiful hands. And I tend to pay attention to women's hands. I'm very drawn to hands that touch, work, explore, and create. And in many of her images, especially the photographs by Stieglitz, we see her hands, and they're incredibly strong and beautiful.
And as always, we end on a book recommendation. So what do you recommend to listeners to go out and get so they can start learning more about her?
Well, there are a lot of books out there, but one of my favorites is an older book. It was first published in 1980. It's a biography by Lori Lyle, and it's called Portrait of an Artist, a Biography of Georgia O'Keeffe. It was reissued in 1986 and is now available as an ebook. And in that book, O'Keeffe is represented as such a complex figure, a woman of both profound vision and strength, and yet also very human. It's beautifully written.
Well, there you have it for Georgia O'Keeffe. Monica, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.